In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Aitan Uliel, Chief Executive Officer of Challenger Energy Group. CEG is ticker. Aitan, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Justin. Nice to be here again.
Yeah, and you released a Uruguay update, some interesting developments going on in and around that area, and we'll discuss that and what it means for you. Before we do that, as always, Aitan, if you just give us a roundup of what Challenger is all about, please.
Sure. Challenger is a Caribbean and Atlantic margin oil company. Our business is predominantly producing oil fields in Trinidad and Tobago. And then we also have a project in Uruguay, which is, I guess, the point of this chat. We have a project in Suriname, and we have some legacy exploration assets in the Bahamas. So, you know, various assets around the region, but the core focus is production in Trinidad, and increasingly we're seeing a lot of interest in our Uruguayan project.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's been some activity as regards licensing in Uruguay, and some big players getting involved there. Take us through that and then explain why this is significant for you, if you could, Aitan.
Sure. So in May 2020, when the whole world was shut for reasons to do with the pandemic, we had been keeping an eye on this license in Uruguay, the OFF-1 license. It's a shallow water offshore license, very large, with a lot of data, a lot of vintage seismic, and a resource estimate of more than 1 billion barrels of oil. So we'd been keeping an eye on it. The Uruguayans run these periodic open bidding rounds, and it so happened that in May 2020, nobody else was bidding because of the pandemic. I've said this many times before. In an ordinary environment, I don't think a company of Challenger size would have picked up that license, but we put in a bid. No one else was around. We were awarded the license in May 2020 on an ultra low cost work program where we don't really have to do any 3D seismic, definitely no drilling. We have some technical work, some GNG studies to do in the first 4 years. And that was May 2020. Everything went into hibernation for a couple of years. It took 2 years for the Uruguayan government to finalize all their approvals. And only about a month ago, the license was officially and formally awarded to us. So OFF-1 is ours. In the meantime, what happened is in January and February of this year, Shell and TotalEnergies both drilled wildcat exploration wells in Namibia. And both of those have come in quite a staggering way. They're huge discoveries. The relevance of this to Uruguay is that Namibia is particularly the licenses that Shell and TotalEnergies have, is the direct conjugate margin analog to across the Atlantic in Uruguay, right next to our licenses and more generally the Uruguayan territorial waters. So certainly in industry terms, this has sparked a huge amount of activity in Namibia and in South Africa, where wells are now being lined up all through the rest of this year and into next year, 3D seismic, et cetera. But it's also sparked a lot of interest over the other side of the Atlantic, including in Argentina and Uruguay. And I've been saying this for some time, and nobody believes me or nobody wants to listen. But the big news that happened is that late last week, the Uruguayan government announced that there had been a successful bidding round in their most recent bidding round. And as a result of that, Shell has taken out two licenses in Uruguay, and Apache, or APA Corporation, which was formerly known as Apache, has taken out one license. So big companies have now entered into Uruguay. And not only have they entered, they've entered in a big way. The ANCAP, the regulator, their media release of this says that they've secured commitments for about $200 million worth of work from these two companies on 3D seismic and drilling of a new exploration well in the next several years, running parallel with our license, where our work commitment requirement is sub $1 million. So, to your point, why is that relevant to us? Well, it validates what we've been saying. There is interest in Uruguay. There's work that's going to happen. And we, can continue on with what was our plan for Uruguay, which is doing our low-cost, minimal work program and considering whether there are any smart partnership deals that can be done. You know, the block right next to us, off two, was the one that saw the most competition, with both Shell and APA submitting competing bids, and that ultimately going to Shell. So really, it's an emerging industry hotspot. There's a lot of activity over the way in Namibia and South Africa. There's a lot of activity now happening in Argentina and in Uruguay. And the next 6 to 9 months is going to be interesting, both for the industry at large in these areas and for us in particular, as we see what goes on around us and how we can best jump on that bandwagon from what is a pretty good position at the moment.
Yeah. And do you expect your phone to be ringing from interested partners?
Well, it's already ringing. I've been saying that for a couple of months.
Yeah.
We will see what partnership opportunities are available. It's going to be an interesting 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, somewhat unexpectedly, I'm the first one to, I'm claiming any great credit here. We saw the opportunity. We took out the license. We've waited for a couple of years, but nobody could have expected the massive success that's been happening in Namibia. And, the data coming out of those wells, this isn't just trendology. There is data coming out of those wells that can be directly mapped over onto our side of the Atlantic. The big thing that people always said is, where is the source rock on the western Atlantic margin? Well, now you can see it. You can track it from seismic. There is data coming out that has direct relevance to us. So, and that is why the big oil companies are getting interested. They're not interested in trendology. They're interested in, actually doing the science and they're seeing the potential now, and that's why they're getting involved. So it'll be an interesting 6 months from here on in.
It's amazing is almost the lack of foresight when sentiment was negative about oil, going back 18 months. There's a lack of foresight, around these potential areas, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's the same.
From the big guys, era. I mean,
But what you see, and that's why there is a room in this world for smaller, more nimble E&P companies. The big guys act in a particular way. They get told, slash your exploration budgets. They just slash it.
Yeah.
Thousands of people get put out of jobs. All projects get mothballed. And then the cycle turns and everyone's suddenly going, where are we going to find our growth in a few years' time? And then suddenly the exploration comes back into vogue, and really all that it takes is one or two big successes. As I've been saying, Namibia, Total Energies and Shell drilled the Graff and the Venus wells. Everyone thought, generally, oh my gosh, that they lost their minds. But of course, they've come in, and now what you see is both of those companies are either drilling or planning to drill follow-up wells. Galp, the Portuguese company, has now announced they're drilling a well early next year. Eco Atlantic, one of our AIM peers, is drilling a well in South Africa, the Ganzania well, later on this year. So all this activity just gets unlocked, really because of, changing sentiment and a couple of successes. So we will see. We think our license is a good one. Obviously, Shell and Apache think their licenses have potential. And so we'll see what, the next 6 months has to hold for us and for everybody in the region.
Yeah, and just remind us, before we get the three reasons there, what do you know of the potential of that resource, your resource?
Well, when ANCAP put out the bid pack, the pack of data and information, they have identified 60 leads on our license alone. One of the leads, the Lenteja project, or Lenteja lead, they have 1.36 billion potential resource on that lead alone. And there are several other leads that are pretty big. So this isn't just a one-trick wonder. There are several leads that we're looking at. Now, our internal analysis when we were doing that, and we've said this publicly, is that we think the NCAP analysis was pretty much right. We've said, you know, north of $1 billion, north of a billion barrels. And as I say, there are other leads as well. So it's, you know, potentially quite large and game changing, certainly for us, and of relevance to majors. So that's what we know of it so far. There's a bit of work that needs to be done. Our commitment was to do some 2D seismic reprocessing, and you know, you see massive image enhancement when you do that, and you get a much better idea of the, you know, the structures and so on. Next door Shell will be doing similar and getting 3D done. And then just a bit further away, Apache will drill an exploration well. So, and then over on the other side of the maritime border in Argentina, Shell, Equinor and YPF are planning to do some 3D seismic acquisition, I believe later this year. So, you know, a lot of activity which will further the technical understanding, but based on what we've seen so far, there's, you know, really material-sized prospects here to go after.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Aidan, if you could then give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, well, I mean, the first, we've spent the whole time talking about Uruguay because that's the news, but we have a production business in Trinidad. We've been working a plan to grow production there. And that is a stable base now. We're producing oil every day. We're selling oil. We're benefiting from the increasing oil price. So I think reason number one is, you know, we have an underlying business that pays the bills, that earns us money, and that has a clearly defined growth path over the next 12 months. And, you know, that is on track and on plan and continues you know, unimpeded or unaffected by any of this. The second reason would be everything we've been talking about. In the near term, and by that I mean in the sort of the next 6 to 9 month window, rather unexpectedly, Uruguay has emerged as what could potentially be a major value catalyst, and, you know, one to keep an eye on. And then the third thing is, you know, notwithstanding all of this, I'd say we're pretty undervalued. Our share price reflects the legacy of the company, the fact that we've had a couple of unsuccessful wells, you know, big one in the Bahamas and another one in Trinidad last year, the fact that we had to go through a pretty comprehensive creditor and corporate restructuring. But all of that's behind us now. Where we stand today is we have a clean balance sheet, we have no debts, we've sorted out all the legacy stuff. Quite encouragingly, we have a very strong shareholder register beginning to take shape. A lot of larger shareholders who are there for the long term and not just, you know, trading in and out. So now, you know, about 35-40% of the register is held in, I guess you could call it, permanent hands. So I'd say we're undervalued and pretty well set up and clean. And so, you know, that would be reason number three.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Aidan, good to chat to you. No doubt we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thanks, Justin. Speak later. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.